Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Hello and welcome to the Aware Show's Radiant Body Summit. I'm Lisa Garr, and I'm really, really excited about today's show. There's so many questions that I have and that I know that you have as well that you've been asking in preparation for this show. Joining me, and we're talking about the body, of course, so everything is, of course, connected. Mind, body, spirit, and so much of the information that we hear today in the mainstream media and that's quoted by so many different authors in this field of neuroscience is based on the work of Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen is the founder of the Amen Clinics. He is the leader in the world's most SPECT scans that have been discovered by people. And the SPECT scan is the brain imaging scan that shows and gives so much information about what our functions of our brain is, the feedback that our brain gives us, and the status of our brain, really, in order to, which is the controller of our life. And I know this, I've been talking a lot recently about my new book that's come out about my brain injury, and that's why I'm so excited to speak with Dr. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Lisa. So great to see you again.
You too. No, I shouldn't say my brain injury. It was a past injury that I had that I really have recovered fully from. And to even be able to do that was enormous. But I had damaged the right prefrontal cortex of my brain in a bike accident and shredded my helmet at the time. And you said to me once, yeah, that's one of the worst places of your brain that you could damage. I'm like, yeah. Oh, me. But I have had an amazing recovery, and it's been from a lot of the techniques that you have taught me and that you have just been on the leading edge of in terms of discoveries around the brain. Could you just tell us a little bit about what you do, what the SPECT scans are, and then catch us up to date, because I haven't spoken to you for a couple of years, or a year.
So I'm a psychiatrist by training, and 24 years ago, I went to a lecture on brain SPECT imaging. SPECT stands for single photon emission computed tomography. It's a nuclear medicine study that looks at blood flow and activity. It looks at how your brain works. And, you know, psychiatrists are the only medical doctors that virtually never look at the organ they treat. And so I'd been a psychiatrist almost a decade when I started looking at the brain, and there were so many epiphanies, so many ahas, that I just kept doing it. And I was blessed and very busy as a doctor, and it just taught me so many amazing things. They're really easy to understand, the scans, because it basically tells us three things: areas of healthy activity, too little or too much. And then my job becomes balancing the brain. So in these last 24 years, we've built a database of nearly 111,000 scans on people from 111 countries. So as I talk about it, it's not based on 15 cases that I saw in some research center. It's based on everyday real life experience over decades. We've seen kids as young as 9 months, as old as 103, and we learned some huge lessons. Like, brain envy is really the secret to happiness and longevity. Mm-hmm. Freud was wrong. Penis envy is not the cause of most of the problems. It was about 2.5 feet too low in the body. It's your brain, because it runs everything. We also learned that most psychiatric illnesses, ADD, anxiety, depression, addictions, are not single or simple disorders in the brain. They all have multiple types. As you experienced, one of the big lessons early on, mild traumatic brain injuries ruin people's lives and no one knows about it because they end up seeing psychiatrists or psychologists and they end up talking about their mother or their father and not the actual physical functioning of the brain. But the big lesson, and you know this, the big lesson, the one that has just kept me excited about my work every day for the last 24 years, is you're not stuck with the brain you have. You can make it better, and I can prove it. And that's what I just love. You know, out of our 111,000 scans, maybe 10,000 of them are before and after scans we've done after we've intervened and showed that, yes, you can improve your brain even if you've been bad to it.
It's basically one of the reasons why I wrote a book after 15 years of broadcasting, was to share that story of the fact that I had this traumatic brain injury and there were no solutions. You're sent home to recover and you have massive inflammation in the brain and the signals are not responding the way that they used to, and it's completely confusing. And what you've been able to do is you've been able to show different parts of the brain that are responsible, of course, for different functions, and then how to reawaken those parts of the brain, and that it is possible. I'm a walking case of what you talk about. And had I not done all of this research over the past 15 years to understand that this is possible, I wouldn't be here today. I would be stuck with what I was given with, go home and good luck.
And well, that's what happens to most people who have traumatic brain injuries.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes.
Even in professional sports teams, it's like, oh, well, go rest. And it's like, well, why not put it in a healing environment so that the brain, you know, when I was in medical school in the late 70s, we were taught the brain doesn't heal.
Right.
That, you know, once you lose it, it's gone. And that was just not true. And so, but, you know, I have orchids in my office and love orchids. And, you know, if an orchid is damaged, drought, storm, or toxins in the soil, how do you heal it? Well, you stop the toxins. First thing you do is stop the toxins. Mm-hmm. And then you give it the right air, the right water, the right nutrients so that it can heal. And the brain is the same way.
Yeah, yes. And that's what's so amazing about it. So I particularly did neurofeedback at the time because I happened to have found this Dr. Barry Sterman, and he was creating this protocol with neurofeedback with kids with seizures and on the spectrum. And I was lucky enough to be a part of that early founding of his protocol, and I was able to see through the electrodes on my head which parts were not sending the signal strong enough. So he did an analysis, and I was able to see what was damaged. And though he provided the whole therapy through neurofeedback, which is great for the beginning, but it's not a one-step fixes all. I got my brain to a certain level with him. It's basically what you teach that is the follow-up, the practical, the everyday things that everyone can do, TBI or not. This could be have to do with memory and function and focus and all of those things that you teach through diet, exercise, understanding the brain through knowledge and so forth, and awareness. I remember talking with you about inmates in prison and how much compassion you have for the inmates in prison because it's their brain being completely chemically imbalanced that caused them to do the majority of what they do or did in order to wind up in prison. And that was groundbreaking information. And what you've done with the NFL study, now of course this is a whole society of people who have had brain injuries and so forth, and you've been able to really make an impact on their lives as well. So let's talk a little bit, if we can bring it into a practical way for people to understand, if you have any situations, and some of the questions that were coming in were about memory, about focus, about ADD, and we're going to talk a lot about ADD today. Is there such a thing as an adult onset ADD, Dr. Amen?
Well, if you've had a head injury, that'll certainly do it. If you have mold in your house, if you've been exposed to toxins, if you drink too much, if your diet is a pro-inflammatory diet, if you get addicted to gadgets. I did you see this study where it said our attention span is shorter than a goldfish?
Yes.
The goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds, and humans now have 8 seconds. It's,
yes.
Twitter may not be in our best interest. Build a lot of information. So ADD, as I typically think about it, it's really a disorder that starts in childhood and can affect you the rest of your life. But if you are just fine as a little girl or as a little boy and you were focused and organized and you didn't wait every time until the last minute to get stuff done, then it really could be the car accident, or it could be the flood you had in your house where then you had black mold growing. So, yes, we do see adult onset ADD, but generally it's due to then something else.
Is ADD hereditary or genetic?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, there's just no question. In fact, if one parent has it, about 60% of the children will have it. If both parents have it, then about 90% of the children will have it.
And then add in technology.
And then you add in technology. You add in hitting soccer balls with their head. You add in our diets, our healthy, fat-depleted diets, high, simple carbohydrate diets that are pro-inflammatory, pesticide-laden. And a brand new study actually out this week that exposure to pesticides increases your risk of being diagnosed with ADD. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Pollution increases your risk. So if you grew up in New York City where there's a fair amount of pollution, you have a higher risk of being diagnosed with ADD. I just think that's really interesting.
Well, that would explain most of America, basically, is the pollution rate and the toxin rate and the soil and so forth. I mean, we have... Definitely, we're heading in that direction. So there are 7 types of ADD that you break down in your most recent book. And I was wondering if you could just touch lightly, if people can then understand where they might fit into this and into that category. And then we're going to talk about solutions.
So let's just back up one step and talk about ADD in general.
Okay.
So people have a lot of myths and misconceptions about it. It's a fad, even though it's been described for 100 years, more than 100 years. It's not the flavor of the month illness. It's a minor psychiatric illness, except 30% of these kids never finish high school. That one sort of banner of success in your life. 52% of untreated ADD adults have problems with substance abuse. There's a higher incidence of divorce, incarceration, financial failure, and now, just recently, we learned Alzheimer's disease. ADD triples the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Mm. So this isn't like a minor thing that's just sort of like a mosquito in your life. It can devastate your life. The hallmark symptoms are short attention span, distractibility, disorganization, procrastination, and poor impulse control. But it's not short attention span for everything. And that's the really important thing. It's short attention span for regular, routine, everyday things, schoolwork, homework, paperwork.
Okay.
The things that make life work, you know, the day-to-day things of life, it's hard for them to stay focused on. But if they get really excited about something, really interested in something, they can do just fine. And so... that'll often fool them, because teenagers will go, how's your attention span? And they'll say, fine, if I'm interested.
Right, right.
The if I'm interested part makes me to perk up and pay attention to, because in a healthy brain, it can pay attention to the mundane, not in an ADD brain. Now, when I'm a child psychiatrist by training, so I'm board certified in adult psychiatry, but also child and adolescent psychiatry. And as a child psychiatrist, half the kids I see have ADD of one form or another.
I'm sure.
And so when I first started doing scans, you know, I had a huge ADD population. And I started scanning them. And the big aha for me early on is when people with ADD try to concentrate, they get decreased activity in the front part of their brain. So we talked about the prefrontal. So it's the front third. It's the most human, thoughtful part of the brain. It's largest in humans and in any other animal by far, 30% of the human brain, 11% of the chimpanzee brain, 7% of your dog's brain, 3% of the cat's brain, which is why my cat just doesn't care about anything. And what happens in the ADD brain is when they try to concentrate, the prefrontal cortex drops. So what does that mean? It means the harder you try, the worse it gets.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people have ADD. Their teachers are like, he's really bright, she's really bright.
Yes.
Try harder. She's lazy. And it's not.
It's diagnosed as lazy a lot. Mm-hmm.
It's diagnosed as lazy. And what I discovered is their brain betrays them because likely they don't have enough dopamine, the neurotransmitter that helps turn on your frontal lobes. So when they try to turn it on, it turns off, sort of like putting your foot on the gas pedal, and the car goes slower, not faster. So It's very frustrating, often involved with depression because of the demoralization that occurs. And when I started scanning people, I saw this turnoff pattern, but then I saw it's not one thing in the brain. And not everybody gets better with stimulants, like Ritalin or Vyvanse or Adderall. They help some people, but they make other people worse. And so I asked why. And Over the first couple of years, I almost immediately talked about five different types of ADD that we saw on scans, and they responded to different treatments. And that was really the important thing. Then in 1997, I described type 6, which is what we call the Ring of Fire. And then recently when I revised Healing ADD, I said, you know, there's really seven types. Mm. So type 1 is what people think of when they think of ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So they have all the hallmark symptoms I talked about, short attention span, distractibility, disorganization, procrastination, impulse control, and they're fairly hyperactive. They can't sit still. Going to movies is just hard for them because They're always getting up. The second type, also described early by other people, is called inattentive ADD. So they have the hallmark symptoms, except not terribly impulsive, but not hyperactive at all. And More common in girls and less diagnosed. So girls are much more likely to be labeled as not that smart, lazy, than they have a medical problem. Type 3 was particularly interesting to me. I call it over-focused ADD. So they have the ADD symptoms, plus they worry, they hold grudges, things don't go their way, they get really upset, they can be obsessive, have compulsive behaviors, more commonly bulimic, have eating disorder issues. It's like they have a little mouse in their head on exercise wheel, and the mouse can't get off. So you get the same thoughts going over and over. And unfortunately, you get the mouse to shut up and leave them alone. A lot of these people end up drinking or they end up smoking pot as a way to put the mouse to sleep.
And I have OCD, right?
I'm sorry?
That's different than OCD then. It's a different pattern.
It's different than OCD because OCD doesn't typically have the ADD features.
Interesting. Okay, got it.
Most people have OCD. They're not only on time, they're early because they're worried about it. Things are incredibly organized. The over-focused ADDs tend to be pack rats. I mean, it's really interesting. Huh. They can't organize things, so they just keep everything.
Right.
Now, when I described overfocused ADD, I had been studying children and grandchildren of alcoholics. So that became a particular interest in me because someone I love grew up in a very abusive alcoholic home. And I'm like, I wonder how that affects her brain. I wonder how that will affect her children. What about her grandchildren? And so that was the big research project for me when in the early 80s.
You found it skipped a generation, right?
Well, it can skip a generation, or not. But the alcohol tends to go with people who are over-focused, worried, rigid, inflexible, who also have impulse control problems.
Okay, got it.
And then type 4, also early on, is what I call temporal lobe ADD. That, yes, they have the ADD features, so I also tend to have learning problems like dyslexia. Their moods tend to be unstable, and they tend to be irritable. And when I would scan some of my patients who tended to be fairly explosive, I would see trouble in one or their temporal lobes. So your temporal lobes are underneath your temples, they're behind your eyes, and they're hugely important in the brain. And they're involved with things like memory, mood stability, temper control, learning, and there were problems in that particular type. Type 5 I call limbic ADD. It's because ADD symptoms tended to go with depression. Now some people say they just may be running together because of the demoralization that goes with ADD. Try harder. Only you tried harder, you'd do better, but then they'd try harder and it wouldn't work. They'd try harder, it wouldn't work. They'd try harder, it wouldn't work. And then they say to hell with it and they stop trying. And I found these people didn't do well on stimulants like Ritalin or Adderall. They would actually make them moody. But on Wellbutrin, really good medicine for depression that has also been shown to be helpful for ADD, they did really well. So I either like Wellbutrin or SAMe, the supplement for this type.
Yeah.
Type 6 is the one I described 6 years after I started our imaging work, and we call it the ring of fire, where it's not too little activity in the brain, it's too much. And it was like, in the shape of a ring around the brain, excessive or too much activity. And give those people stimulants, you can make them crazy.
Wow.
And so we have strategies to calm their brain.
Okay.
And then type 7 is anxious ADD. These are people who will never get up in front of a class to give a talk because their mind goes blank and they're pretty anxious, nervous, tend to predict the worst in situations. And so each of them has their own treatment, and you just can't treat everybody the same, and that's the problem with psychiatry today. It's, oh, you're depressed, take Prozac or something like Prozac. And even though Prozac's a great medicine for the right person, it's a freaking nightmare for the wrong person.
Interesting. That's so interesting because, yes, the antidepressants have been in the news a lot as being overprescribed. And as you just discover or really clearly described, there are many different types of ADD that that same medication can be extremely helpful or poisonous for. Which type here is Ritalin effective for? Because, yes, I interview a lot of people that say Ritalin is horrible and they're, you know, I liked more specific information here. What would that be good for?
So it's really good for types 1 and type 2. So the hyperactive, restless, impulsive child or the inattentive ADD child or adult, it can be like a miracle. I hear all the Ritalin haters, and I hate it for the wrong brand. But having prescribed it for thousands of people over the years, I mean, literally can take a child from D's and F's to A's and B's.
Wow.
It can take a mother who is chronically overwhelmed, angry, irritable, to calmer, more focused, just a heck of a lot more helpful in her marriage and in her family. And I think of it like glasses. You know, having ADD type 1 or 2, it's just like people need glasses. You know, people need glasses aren't dumb, crazy, or stupid. Their eyeballs are shaped funny. And
right.
You know, they wear glasses so they can focus. People have ADD aren't dumb, crazy, or stupid. When they try to concentrate, their frontal lobes shut down. So if I turn them on with one of the stimulants, now they can focus, and that's why they get settled down. Because you got to ask yourself, why would you ever give a stimulant to a hyperactive child? Because what stimulants do is they stimulate the brain, and then the brain calms them down.
Interesting.
for the right person, it is just so helpful. But if you give it to a Ring of Fire kid, you're going to get a nightmare, and then you're going to get the news media covering it, and everybody's going to go, Ritalin is the devil. And,
right.
But, you know, I mean, I have thousands of cases where it's made a radical difference. So, you know,
as long as it's monitored by a doctor, specifically you. Now, are there side effects to Ritalin? Are there? Is it addictive? Or an Adderall, are those addictive?
You know, it's funny because they're labeled as potentially addictive. The biggest problem I have with teenagers in Ritalin or Adderall is I can't get them to take it because they don't like the feeling of, like, there's a little bit of a lid on them. You know, they can really focus and they get things done and their grades are better. But if you overshoot the dose a bit, it actually settles them down too much and they don't like it.
Wow.
So I don't have the big problem I've had through the years with teenagers, and they are the most vulnerable to addiction, is they don't take it. Now, some of them get really loving toward their friends and they start giving it to their friends and I have to get after them about, it's like, don't do that, because
I had a caller
having
about that one.
Concentrating, you could get yourself into trouble. And then of course you have entrepreneurial
yes, I've heard of this,
and yes, they'll sell it to their friends.
Yes, I had a caller call in once who was 20 years old, and she said, I'm addicted and so are all of my friends because they all take it in order to get A's and I have to do the same to keep up. It just terrified me. Because I've, you know, young child, I'm like, wow.
Giving it to the right person, it can change their life in the right way.
Okay.
Give it to the wrong person, you can precipitate a disaster.
Mm.
So that's why, to me, the types are so important.
Okay. It's very important. This is incredibly valuable information for any parent. So now, if you have certain symptoms from one and then maybe one or two of the symptoms from type 6, have you found that where you're crossover in some of the symptoms on each category?
I have, and some people can have three or four at the same time. If that's true, we always treat the Ring of Fire or the temporal lobe types first. So we always want to keep your brain stable before we want to stimulate it.
Okay.
So having multiple types, and in Healing ADD I actually talk about how to deal with that particular issue, because it's really important. We try to treat the most important type first, and then I have a hierarchy of do this, then do that.
So what I find valuable is that for those who can't get in for a spec scan, this is a way, you have a questionnaire, which is great, and it's the way you could figure out which type of ADD that you have, which is really practical. And you can go through the questionnaire and you can discover what that is. And then you offer solutions in the book and in the DVD of each kind of solution. And they're varied. I mean, you start with nutrition. Can you talk about some of the overall types of nutrition that someone can take supplement-wise? We'll start with that before we go to food. For general ADD. General, there's no such thing. To start off with, what's good? What helps reduce inflammation?
There are treatments, I think, for everybody. So everybody who has ADD, exercise helps them.
Okay.
Everybody.
Huge.
And we're not exercising nearly as much as we used to, and taking PE out of schools, that's just a bad idea. Everybody.
What do you do for the brain exercise? What releases in the brain?
Well, boost dopamine, so the thing that's low in ADD. It also increases serotonin, so it helps you be happier and more flexible. So, and it boosts your cerebellum, could be one of the most important parts of what I've learned. So the cerebellum's in the back bottom part of your brain, has 10% of the brain's volume, has half of the brain's neurons. And it's totally connected to your frontal lobes. So in your injury, when you hurt the right frontal lobe, can turn off the opposite side cerebellum, and the cerebellum's where processing speed occurs. And so if we're not doing coordination exercises like dance, like tennis, like table tennis, then we're not exercising our cerebellum, and it ultimately makes us all look more ADD. And
wow.
So coordination exercise. Now, not the kind of exercises where you're pounding your head against somebody else or against a ball. I mean, how stupid is that?
Yeah.
Right? Brain is soft, skull is hard, skull has sharp bony ridges. Your brain runs your life. Protect it. Stop being stupid about it.
Yes, and luckily they make helmets a lot stronger these days.
Well, helmets don't protect you from brain damage. That's really important to understand. Helmets protect you from skull fractures. Hmm. But if you just think of your accident, when you hit, I mean, your helmet wasn't good, but even if your helmet was perfect, when you hit that ground inside your skull, your brain did this.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to prevent it from going at 15 miles an hour to zero, because what's going to happen when, you know, a force that is in motion stays in motion? So if you stop it, it's going to go back and forth until the energy is dissipated.
Yes.
So
that causes the inflammation. That's what caused the swelling in the brain. And I lost my ability to speak, too, and you just explained that beautifully.
So people have the mistaken idea that helmets somehow protect their brains. They really protect their skulls.
Hmm.
And so exercise, nutrition, our diets are a disaster. And we took fat out of our diets, low fat, low fat, low fat. Fat is the devil. Fat is of the enemy. Fat causes this or that.
Fat causes fat.
A lot sicker. Not only did we get fat, but we got not that smart. And so healthy fat is absolutely critical. And, you know, we added sugar, which is pro-inflammatory. We also pesticided our food.
Yes. Can I ask you real quick about medium-chain triglycerides? Are you a fan of those, coconut oils?
Because your brain uses them quickly. It's a good energy source. So we actually make, if anybody's interested in it, we make sugar-free, dairy-free chocolate. So we have a bar called Brain and Love because it's a symbol of abundance. And you write me, I'll send you some. And then we have a chocolate coconut bar, and it's called Brain on Joy because it just tastes awesome.
Wow.
But nothing bad in it because we've used our frontal lobes to make these things that are healthy.
Good thing.
And people think, in fact, I think it's part of the package of my wife's new cookbook, Healing ADD Through Food, which is just, you know, and Tana, besides being beautiful and smart, is
your wife
masterful in creating really healthy food that tastes awesome. And this, there's so many recipes in here kids will like, from chicken fingers and fried shrimp, but it's fried in the right kind of oil with the right kind of breading that actually doesn't include bread. But it just tastes so good.
There's the chicken.
Desserts. And, I mean, it just, you know, Tana and I both say, getting your brain healthy is always about abundance, never about deprivation, and there is no suffering required.
Wow. She's beautiful. I mean, you have really quite put together such an amazing offer for our listeners, by the way, and I just want to mention that really quickly to everyone. If you go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Amen, A-M-E-N, you will find this entire package that is so, so incredibly comprehensive. This one thing here, which is the ultimate brain box, I just want to tell you that this is all of Dr. Amen's public television specials. And this is, you know, there's Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, the original. This is Magnificent Mind at Any Age. You've got Change Your Brain, Change Your Body, The Brain in Love, The Amen Solution, Use Your Brain to Change Your Age. I remember interviewing you about that. This is, of course, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, all about the hormones, and The Omni Health Revolution. I have not heard that one's new. Is that one of your latest ones?
It's the one I did with Tana, and it's awesome.
Oh, cool. Great. And then, of course, the I love video cooking ideas because I'm not the best cook, so I need to be able to see it. I like pictures, which is good.
And she was totally, when I met her 10 years ago, she couldn't cook. In fact, I would beg her not to cook. Like, I'll pick it up. She would just make such a mess.
Totally.
And we talked about that she has terrible ADD. Even though highly successful, she's an ICU nurse. I mean, I know more about ADD than I want to. But, you know, just not the most organized woman in the world. But when she got this connection between brain health and physical health, I mean, she's just on fire with food.
Yes, which is amazing. And that makes so much sense about I noticed that in like the first 10 minutes of a workout, I will notice my thoughts change. And then in about 20 minutes, I'll start organizing my day. And I can feel the chemicals start to change in my brain. I can go in there in just complete fog, and in 20 minutes I will be completely different. I don't do interviews unless I work out, just because it organizes my brain. My dad had ADD, and of course I love learning how to focus through what I do here. This teaches me every day to stay focused and love what I do and so forth. So I kind of reverse trained it without have. One of the other difference. I really haven't thought about it. But anyway, I just want to mention once again, go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Amen. And the public television specials that are included in here have all been individually in the $97 range. This whole thing is put together in the $197 range, which is amazing, plus the food, plus the questionnaire, plus the book, plus the DVD, on ADD. So it's a huge, huge, huge offer, which I'm so grateful because it's so comprehensive. So I want to get back to the question about, let's see here, we covered diet. So inflammation of the brain, of course, is one of those things that does take years to decrease if you had a TBI. But can it take years to decrease if you caused inflammatory responses in the brain from food? Can you decrease it fairly quickly by cleaning up your diet?
Yes. Some people notice a remarkable difference in just a couple of days. Some people will actually lose a fair amount of weight in a matter of a month or two. I mean, we have just great stories. Your diet is either helping you or hurting you. You know, I ask my patients, if you had $1 million racehorse, would you ever feed it junk food? Only if you were an idiot and you were worth so much more. So, but by eating cheap oils that are high in omega-6, by eating a lot of processed foods, pet-laden foods, you are increasing inflammation. And I want people, because people really don't understand what that is. It's like, it comes from the Latin word for fire, and it's like you have a low-level fire in your body destroying all of your organs, including your brain. And so trauma can do it, as you said. I actually wouldn't say it takes years to recover. In our NFL study, so we did the world's largest study on active and retired NFL players, often in as little as 2 months, we were seeing significant improvements.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Sometimes we would actually put them in a hyperbaric chamber. But what we did, and here's some like new news that is so exciting. It was based on a paper last year published in the journal Aging by Dale Bredesen at UCLA. Took 10 people with Alzheimer's disease or mild cognitive impairment, which is on your way to Alzheimer's disease, and put them on a program very similar to our program. In 6 months, listen to this, 9 of the 10 were better. 6 of them went to work.
Wow.
It's completely unheard of. But the program was... nothing was normal. Everything was optimal. So we teach people to get their important numbers checked, including C-reactive protein, which is a measure of inflammation in your body. On vitamin D, so normal's between 30 and 100, but I want all my patients between 50 and 100. See, normal's to get a C. I never wanted to get a C in my life. In fact, if I got a C, I was pretty irritated with me and the teacher, because it's his job to make sure I did a good job.
That's a good point.
But we don't want any of your numbers to be normal. I don't want you to ask your doctor, am I normal? Because quite frankly, normal's sick in our society.
Huh, why? You know,
optimal. And then we go after it in multiple mechanisms. So there are strategies to decrease inflammation. So think fish oil. There are strategies to increase blood flow. Ginkgo. There's strategies to help stabilize blood sugar levels. There's a nutrient I like called alpha-lipoic acid. There's a strategy to increase cell membrane fluidity, phosphatidylserine. So optimal numbers in multiple mechanisms, personalized to you, so that's where the questionnaire can come in, or if people come to one of our six clinics getting scanned, can be real helpful so that we personalize it. Not one treatment fits everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's iterative. Now, not everybody knows what that means, but it's my favorite word because it means you can't stop. You just keep at it because ADD doesn't stop. It's not like flu where you just get over it. It's something that can have an impact on you for a very long time. So optimal, multiple mechanisms, personalized, iterative, we never stop.
So, yes, and that's the one thing that I've noticed is the repetition in doing this. But you're saying when you start to feed the brain these types of nutrients, that the brain starts to desire those nutrients by itself? It starts to set that up?
Well, I don't know that it desires it, but it benefits from it. And what we did with our NFL study, high-quality multiple vitamin, high-dose fish oil, and a multiple mechanism supplement, we published that study and showed 80% of players showed improvement in as little as 2 months. So, you know, people go, oh, well, it's not for me because I drink too much or I've been done drugs or I've been bad to my brain. And it's like, even if you've been bad to your brain, now is the time to really take it seriously. When it comes to ADD, know if you haven't. And get serious about it, because left untreated, it can ruin your life. And then know what type you have. In the book, I talk about here are the supplements that my experience work for each of the seven types. Here are the medications. Mm-hmm. I always, in my head, I'm thinking about, can I get this with supplements and lifestyle interventions? If I can, great, because I'm always thinking first, do no harm. Yeah. But if not, I am not opposed or shy about using medication, because it's one of the tools in the toolbox that I have.
Can I ask you about medicinal marijuana and this whole marijuana thing that's happening in the country here? What do you ever prescribe it, or what does it do to the brain?
You know, it's interesting. I just had a father-in-law die of pancreatic cancer, and the last month he used it as a way to eat and decrease his pain. I'm a huge fan of that. In general, I'm not a fan because it lowers blood flow to the brain. Study after study after study we've done, it's not making your brain healthier. It's making it sleepier, and which means motivation and memory, focus are generally not improved. But I'm absolutely opposed to taking someone who's smoking pot and putting them in jail. That has just got to be the dumbest thing. You know, this guy's got a problem with marijuana, and we're going to put him in a chronically stressful cage, feed him like crap, and then let him hang out with people who do bad things. Now, is this going to make our society better or worse? One would think it would make us worse. So
two separate issues, but yes, I hear you. I hear what you're saying there, and we should have overcrowded jails because of that reason and less focus on the more important reasons of incarceration. I was just asking you from a medical perspective of what it does to the brain, because I know that you have researched this, and that's a whole nother show. I won't share my opinions now, but it's. I wanted to get your answer on it. Okay, so that's obviously not a solution for having for focus at all, but some of your other solutions are food.
Well, you asked me before, can you have adult onset ADD? Yeah, if you pick up pot. I can't tell you the number of kids who they didn't have ADD in third grade, they didn't have it in sixth
wow.
grade, and all of them 10th grade and they have ADD. And I'm like, but I can't find it in any of his records. I can't find it in any of his history. And then I look at his scan, and his scan's got this bumpy, toxic look to it. And I'm like, and he lied to me, of course, and said he wasn't smoking pot. And I'm like, why does your brain look toxic? And then they'll start crying, and they'll go, you won't tell my mom, and, you know, the whole thing.
So it registers as a toxin in the brain?
It looked, marijuana scans generally look toxic to the brain.
Fascinating. Not, in what area? Do you know, what area?
Globally.
Wow, that's very
no, I mean, I'm not a fan because, I mean, I don't have anything inherently against marijuana. I just, when I look at the scans of people who smoke pot, I'm like, well, this isn't good for you. You know, I'm not a fan of alcohol. You know, if I had a choice, would I get someone stoned or drunk? You know, I'd get them stoned because they're generally not going to beat their wife. Much more likely to beat their wife if they're intoxicated. So I see alcohol as a much more dangerous drug.
Wow.
But I'm not a fan of either.
Is the question I was going to ask you, what was that? Oh, ADD. I had spinal meningitis when I was in my 20s, and it's one of the things that you should never do if you have meningitis, as I've heard, is ever smoke pot, because it apparently does something with the fluid. Do you know anything about that?
Well, spinal meningitis, if you look at your scan, it'll show your scan looks older than you are, and pot does the same thing. So it ends up being an additive negative effect on your brain.
I shouldn't be sitting here today based on all I've told you.
Well, that's why you do all this great research on how can I get it back.
Yes, it's my mission. Yes.
You're living proof of neuroplasticity.
I am the neuroplasticity poster child because I've done all that you've done. I've researched your stuff for years, and I don't even know if you know this, but I have literally rebuilt my brain from many different things. I mean, meningitis and accidents and even Hashimoto's. I mean, I've had it all.
Well, and all those things are actually common with ADD. And people with
Hashimoto's?
ADD get more accidents because of the impulsivity. And remember we were talking about their cerebellum here in the back bottom part of the
yeah.
brain. So their coordination's not quite as good as people who don't have ADD, and so they're more likely to end up in the emergency room than other people.
Interesting.
And they're a little bit on the daredevil side.
Yeah,
so
you think?
The daredevil side tends to get them their heads hit more than others.
Yep, this is true. Luckily, we got our daughter, who does play soccer, a band. You know, one of her, it's like the soccer helmet. And thank God they've made those these days. Okay, so I want to direct the audience back to the website, which is theawareshow.com/amen. I always say amen because had I not discovered your information, I wouldn't know as much as I do and been able to heal my brain the way that I have. And so check it out because it's all of Dr. Amen's public television specials in one box set, which is incredible that you've been able to do this. And there's each one of them dives deeply into your brain on love and what happens when you're in that what chemical reactions happen in the brain. All of our behavior is based on the chemicals in our brain. And if we can learn how to construct the flow of those chemicals through nutrition, exercise, eating, supplementation, and habits and patterns and so forth that we do through our actions, then you can literally change that chemistry. Now, let's talk a little bit about patterns and habits. You said that certain people with ADD don't like the mundane, but yet at the same time, that pattern and habit can help you to focus. How do you help someone focus in general?
Well, when you get the right habits together, so exercise, eating right, simple supplements, they do better. But you also make sure they sit up front in a class, that they turn other things off when they're trying to concentrate.
Okay.
You know, they'll go, oh, well, I need everything on. And it's like, no, the studies say that will, in fact, distract you. Mm-hmm. So we get rid of the distractions. Except for Mozart's Sonata in D for two pianos. That one piece of Mozart's has been found to increase focus and actually focus brain waves.
Really?
QEEGs. So it's called Mozart's Sonata in D for Daniel in two pianos. And the number is K448. So you can download that. It really, I mean, it just sort of wakes up and stimulates your
brain. Wow.
The only thing you have to do, because most people with ADD are not morning people, they're night people, is you got to really focus on sleep hygiene. Because if you don't get 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep at night, your brain doesn't work right. And so sleep, absolutely incredible. We actually make something called restful sleep.
Okay, I was going to ask you, because why does that happen with people with ADD need stay up later? Why is that?
It's genetic. I mean, there's just some people who are wired to be larks, and
totally.
Other people are up at night. And you know, the schools, it's really interesting. The high schools that start later have less depression among teenagers.
Oh, really?
A teenager just gets an hour less sleep at night. More commonly, the ADD kids, because they're staying up late, there's a higher incidence of suicide. So protecting sleep could be one of the most important things you do, and there's a whole section in the book on sleep and ADD.
Interesting. Yep, their high schools do start earlier and earlier these days, and there's some of the more progressive ones start around 9, which is super helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left, and I want to mention again the website here and the incredible value. And part of what Dr. Amen and his whole team has done is made this affordable for you to be able to get all of this research in one place. Over the years, my dad and I have purchased your products, and we've gone through the research together, and he's a retired MD, and, you know, thinks that he has memory problems, and that's one of his biggest challenges, is that he thinks he has it. He's been tested, and he doesn't, but he gets so fearful when it comes to that idea of, I'm going to forget, and panics. How does someone get through that? And we're going to switch the focus a little bit here to memory and to Alzheimer's. How does someone get over that fear? Are there exercises, brain exercises, that you recommend, Dr. Amen?
Well, you know, we talk about ADD. ADD triples the risk of Alzheimer's disease. I wrote another book called Preventing Alzheimer's. It's actually what I learned from that. I put in my show, Use Your Brain to Change Your Age. And you want to prevent Alzheimer's disease, you have to prevent all the risk factors for it, including head trauma, addictions, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, sleep apnea, really important. But untreated depression, untreated post-traumatic stress disorder, untreated ADD all increase your risk. And so it's the same plan, you know, as we talked about optimal, multiple mechanism, personalized, iterative. That's the same plan that you treat ADD with, that you prevent Alzheimer's with. That's what I love. You know, Tana once said, my wife, she says, you know, they're like many ways to get sick. There's one way to get better, and it's do the right thing. But if you think about it, so, you know, say you have a grandmother who has Alzheimer's. We put her in a care facility, and she gets a menu, and she gets to choose. And what do you think she chooses? All the things that turn to sugar quickly, bread, pasta, potatoes, rice, sugar. So we're accelerating their illness by not feeding them appropriately. And the worst places for food, schools for children, it's
serious. And care homes.
Care homes. And hospitals. It's like, honestly.
You are so right. The mashed potatoes and meatloaf. Yes, you are so right. Yes, it's, I don't understand.
Put the meatloaf on a salad. You put the meatloaf on a salad, we'll be good.
But it usually has wheat in it. I know a friend of mine just went, you know, and had surgery for her Crohn's, and the first thing they gave her was white bread. Oh my God, she had gut surgery, and they gave her white bread. It's terrifying, the lack of knowledge. And you basically, if you could just have green juices brought in, or if you're ever in that situation, it's going to help you. You're a big fan of juicing as well. You have been in the past. Are you still in the juicing world?
Well, as long as it's not fruit juice.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem. A lot of people go, oh, I have a shake every morning with bananas and berries. And I'm like, no. Because fruit sugar unwrapped is toxic to you. So I'm a huge fan of your juicing carrots and celery and spinach and kale. Although you have to be careful with the spinach and kale because they can cause kidney stones if you're not careful with it. Something called oxalates that
What about breakfast? How important is that for a high, you know, a nutrient-rich breakfast with protein? How important is that for brain function?
So Keith Connors, I looked at this at the University of North Carolina and found that he's got a protein-based breakfast, bacon and eggs. Their medicine worked longer throughout the day. So I think a protein-based breakfast is really important. Now, if you tend to be one of the obsessive people, it'll make you more obsessive. And so we actually have dietary recommendations for each of the different types.
Why is that?
Because if you have a protein-based diet, it increases dopamine, which helps you focus. But if your problem is already you're over-focused, now you're just going to get more stuck, if you will. So whenever someone has over-focused ADD, goes on the Atkins diet, they become mean.
Really?
And so I was on the Rachel Ray show a couple of years ago, and I was talking to her about this, and she said, oh my God, when I went on the Atkins diet, I became so mean. I wondered why my husband didn't leave me. So the wrong diet for your brain type could actually cause you to get divorced.
Eat right for your brain type. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. And that I would have never thought about, but that makes perfect sense. Is it because it stimulates, you said the one with the ring of fire, right, is the one that should never eat the Atkins diet?
Or over-focused.
Or over-focused, because the protein does something to the frontal lobe?
Well, you know, so I'll unpack it a little bit further for you. When you eat simple carbs, bread, pasta, potatoes, rice, sugar, it raises your blood sugar level. Okay, so that's not good for you long term.
Right.
Short term, when you raise blood sugar levels, tryptophan, the amino acid building block for serotonin, can now get into your brain. So there's this little mechanism that when you eat simple carbohydrates, you have more serotonin available in your brain, and you're happier. You're more relaxed.
Okay.
If you take the serotonin away, throw the dietary intervention away, now you're just on a protein diet, you have less serotonin, and if you have just regular ADD, that's good, because now you're focused. But if you have the low-focused ADD, say you start with low serotonin, now we lower it further, now you can't let go, you worry, you hold grudges, things don't go your way, you get upset, you can explode, and that's not a good thing.
Wow.
So everybody's brain's a little bit different, so everybody's diet should be a little bit different.
And then that person should eat not necessarily bread for carbs, but you're talking about like sweet potatoes and vegetables for their carbs, right?
So sweet potatoes, garbanzo beans.
Okay, great. So much information here, and I really just have to say it's all in this offer. This is the all-comprehensive offer, and I'm so glad that you put this together, and it's hugely valuable for us. I know that in the past, each one of those, the DVDs, especially in this Ultimate Brain Box, each one of these are their own public television specials. I can't believe you've done that many. My goodness. You've been busy. But this is
working on number 10. But
really?
Not only is it the DVD of the special, but it's got an hour extra bonus material for each of them. So there's like 18 hours in there.
I am going to get a new one because I opened this. So I'm going to get a new one. And I'm going to give it to my dad. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for all that you've contributed, first of all, to the world, because you've really helped us understand our brains. You've contributed to my life and helping me know that my healing is possible. With all of the aliens I've had, it doesn't even matter because I know what's possible. So I just want to say thank you so much and let the listeners know, go get the education. Empower your brain. It is, Dr. Amen has been so specific about each protocol. Diagnosing yourself is easy with the questionnaire. So, and there's a questionnaire style for each type of DVD as well. So deep dive here, folks. This is really important for you. You can go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Amen, A-M-E-N. And I will tell you that this is something that you can't live without. This is something that you need to get for your health, your family's health, your parents' health. You could split up the DVDs and then share them with your family. I mean, really, definitely get this offer. It is so vital for your life, honestly. So thank you. I'm no joke about that. Thank you so much, Dr. Amen, for everything. It's really great to see you again. Take care.
Thanks, Lisa.
All right. Talk to you soon, hopefully. And for my listeners, go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Amen, and just listen and learn and enjoy life. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.